Welcome, everybody, to Movies with My Mother. I, of course, am Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And today we watched House on Haunted Hill.
Yeah.
From 1959. It was 75 minutes long, and it was directed by William Castle.
Yep.
I didn't see a letter rating on it, which, because this was before letter ratings were a thing, but right. It just says approved. So I'm guessing that means it was okay to go to theaters. I don't know what approved means.
I don't think that back then they had thoughts like that.
Yeah.
You know, it was either for the X-rated theater or for the regular theater.
Right.
I don't think that there was any division about it.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
It got an 80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I saw that.
And a 6.7 out of 10 on IMDb, which I think is low.
I think so, too. I thought at that time Vincent Price was huge.
Right.
Do you think because it was so short, such a short movie?
I don't know. And I don't, you know, I don't know if like people like me that are going to appreciate it, rated it, versus the people that like saw like the Riff Trax version.
Right, right.
You know, went and rated it because, you know, I mean, there is stuff to laugh about in this movie, but.
Right.
You know.
Right.
You know, does that make it a bad movie? Absolutely not.
No, I thought it was for why we're watching it.
Right.
I think it's a perfect movie. It's in the public domain,
yes.
Which means it's available for anyone to see.
Right.
It's short and it's right up our alley.
Right. It's not long enough to bore you, though it is a little on the slow side.
It is. It is.
But it's not boring enough to make you lose interest.
Correct. I agree with you.
And, you know, I don't know. Maybe people aren't looking at it like I'm looking at it. Because I'm always, a movie like this is a movie that I've always loved.
Right.
So, you know, maybe I'm looking at it through rose-colored glasses.
Right. Well, I don't know. We so often say that. What was there nobody in the theater that day? Only those five people? Why?
I don't know.
You know, so... And I don't know how those things work. Are those like exit polls and stuff? Do they talk to people coming out of the theater?
I've seen lots of movies. I've never talked to anybody outside of a movie about a movie.
No. No. Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll have to delve into that and find out why that is. You know, I looked at Rotten Tomatoes. That's an interesting story, but.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. How they do it.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, yeah, sometimes I don't agree with Rotten Tomatoes either. I mean, you know, we watched lots of movies that we thought were good and they got like a 3 on Rotten Tomatoes.
I guess that's just because we're our warped sense of humor.
Yes. Isn't that the truth?
For sure. I have a budget of about $200,000.
I saw that.
And all I could find for like gross money, there was no worldwide gross. There was no domestic gross. It just said box office.
Right.
And I said, okay.
Right.
And that number was $2.5 million.
And I have to wonder if that really, I wonder if I didn't see anything about this going to Europe.
Oh.
You know, so some of the movies we see, that it made X amount of money in Europe.
Oh.
Or overseas or internationally or something, it says.
Yeah.
But I didn't see anything at all about this. Just that, you know, there's so much of it has gone to DVDs and remakes and things like that.
Huh.
So.
Weird.
I wonder if that's all part of that money. Because I think $2.5 million is a lot of money.
In 1959, that was a ton of money.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know.
So, yeah. Is that 200, 2, or 2.5 million? Is that like all told.
Right. That's what I didn't, when I saw that figure, it was just in a whole bunch of conversation about the movie. And it literally just did say box office, budget and box office. So I don't think that would be what, you know, the first day was and stuff like that. Because we've seen that it says the first day on a movie.
Yeah.
You know, or it opened in.
Oh, yeah. Opening weekend.
Right.
Yeah.
But when these movies came out back then, they didn't have huge premieres. They just went to a theater.
Right.
You know, they started at a theater. And that's how, we'll talk about that. That's how some of the gags got into effect too.
Oh, really? Okay.
How those work, because it didn't have a big premiere. It opened, you know, in Podunk and then Toledo and then Detroit and, you know, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. The basic plot of the movie is that a millionaire offers $10,000 to five people who agree to be locked in a large, spooky rented house overnight with him and his wife.
And it was obvious from the get-go that she wasn't interested.
Oh, 100%. She was just there to be there. She was just there to be hot.
Yep.
She was gorgeous.
Yes, yes. That outfit and that hair. OMG. Wow. I bet you that jacket she was wearing, that robe.
Yeah.
Was velvet.
It probably was.
Yeah.
It looked like it.
Yeah. Wow. And that bustier. Wow.
Yeah, that was fancy.
We've been talking about RuPaul and Drag Race today. I bet some of those queens would give their eye teeth to have that bustier.
Oh, could you even imagine?
Wow. I bet that was satin too.
Oh, probably.
Oh.
Hand beaded.
Probably. Oh, to be gorgeous and rich.
Right.
Just like us.
Right.
Thought we were pretty good at our TikTok today.
We sure did.
Yeah.
That dress is very flattering on me.
It is. Well, holy cow. I won't go into what I thought.
I don't usually look that good.
Huh. Wow. I mean, yes, you do. You looked extra good today.
Okay, thank you.
That's it.
Okay.
You always look good, but you looked extra good today.
Okay. All right.
My goodness.
You better stop before I have to get my boots on.
Kick me right out.
No, because it's getting deep in here.
Okay, whatever.
The cast is Vincent Price. Mm-hmm. Carol Omart.
His wife at the time.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
I believe she was his wife at the time. Yes.
Oh, okay. Richard Long, Alan Marshall, Carolyn Craig, Elisha Cook Jr., Julie Mitchum, Leona Anderson, Howard Hoffman, and a skeleton.
Yes.
It's very funny. If you look up the IMDb, the very last cast is just a picture of a skeleton. It's
yes.
A skeleton.
And that was one of Castle's gimmicks.
Yes.
To get people into the theater. Let's see. Why can't I? Didn't I see that they were married?
Vincent Price and Carol Omart?
Yes.
I don't know. I didn't.
No, maybe they weren't married. Nope. It was a different Carol.
Oh.
I guess I looked at the first name and stopped thinking. Which, you know, for me is the usual.
No, at the time of this movie, he was married to a lady named Mary Grant.
Yes.
Mary Grant Price.
Yes. But she was gorgeous.
Yeah. Carol Omart just smoking hot in this movie.
Yes. Yes. Very, very pretty. And young, too. Well, I mean, I guess she wasn't all that young in that time, but wow, she was really pretty. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. But yeah, those clothes. Even the other two women that were there.
Yes.
Were dressed very nicely. That suit that the older lady had on. I would give my eye teeth for that suit.
Yeah.
And the dress that the younger woman wore was all that pleated stuff across the bodice.
Yeah.
I think that makes for a beautiful, beautiful bodice. I liked it. Such things.
And you could tell these people their stations in life.
Yes.
Based on their clothing.
Absolutely.
Because you could tell that was the fanciest dress that Nora Manning owned.
Right.
And it was just that simple, pretty dress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because she was just
a type
office girl.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And that other lady was a reporter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could absolutely tell that. I thought it was a pretty good movie, considering I thought it was going to be awful.
Yeah? Why did you think it was going to be awful? Because it's a movie that I was excited about.
Yeah, I think so. Because pretty much anything you like, I don't.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. And that's kind of what it's been. And
with these old movies, you know, there's nothing provocative. There's nothing shocking about anything in these older movies.
Right.
So.
But they are scary.
Yeah.
You know, that house had gas lights. So, I mean, it was at the whim of the wind if the light went out. And when those lights went out, the gas lights, they're like perpetual candles is all they are.
Yeah.
You can't even imagine being in a house with a gas flame burning all the time.
Oh, could you imagine the smell?
No, I can't. And the ceilings had to have been black all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Same with candles. Candles leave that black stuff on your ceiling. I thought it was a good movie. I really enjoyed it.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Scary. Very scary. And that was a lot of that is because William Castle, that's his forte.
Yeah.
He is into horror and doing things just to absolutely scare the hair off of you.
Oh, cool.
And he's a good friend of a friend of our show, Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, okay.
He saw a Hitchcock movie and knew that that's where his direction was. That horror, that same kind of B movie that Alfred Hitchcock pumped out. Let's see, what do I got about? William Castle lived from 1914 to 1977. He was orphaned at age 11.
Oh, no.
At age 15, he quit school to go to work.
Ooh.
He had been working in a theater and he came to the attention of Columbia Pictures. Now, I know I have this written down. Who recognized him? Oh, Bela Lugosi.
Really?
He was working in a theater in the back, and he saw the play Dracula.
Which Bela Lugosi toured for years.
For years. And soon he got an introduction, and Lugosi knew of his work in the back. And convinced someone, whoever, to hire him as the assistant stage manager for his touring company.
Oh, wow.
So he spent his teen years learning the craft of how the back of the theater works.
Wow.
And I think that's why his movies are so scary, because he knew all the little tricks.
Yeah.
And all the things like that. Thrillers was his thing, and he really came into prominence because the fact that he was able to use these gimmicks and promotion to bring all his movies to the forefront.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
People wanted to see his movies because of the promotion that he did, and they knew that something was going to happen.
Yeah.
When they were there. So, you know, that was something that he really made money on.
Oh, cool.
The last movie he worked on was Rosemary's Baby.
Wow.
And I do have a little more about that, but not yet.
But he didn't direct Rosemary's
Baby. No. I'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll bring it up to that.
Okay.
Some
who did direct Rosemary's Baby?
I have that written down.
Oh, okay.
Roman Polanski.
Oh, yeah.
I should have known that. How could I have forgotten that?
Boy, I feel real dumb.
Sometimes I do, too.
Jeez. But okay.
Along the way, while he was working with Lugosi, he met Orson Welles.
Oh, wow.
And worked with him for some time also.
Speaking of creating a scene.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. So he convinced, and I don't have a date on this. I probably should have had a date on this. This was when he was probably 20s. He convinced Orson. He knew that Orson Welles was going to go to film the movie Citizen Kane.
Okay.
And apparently Orson Welles had a theater in Connecticut. Let's see, the Stony Creek Theater in Connecticut. So he convinced Orson Welles to lease him the theater so he could put on shows in the time Orson Welles was away. And at that time in American history, if you were German, you could only work in a play that was originally from Germany, that was done in Germany. So he convinced this star, her name was Ellen Shaniak.
Okay.
I think. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not a good German when it comes to that. And he invited her to play a part in a play he was going to do.
Okay.
And at the time, he had heard when he had offered to do this, he had heard that she was invited to Munich by the Nazis to star in something and be their guest and that. And he made a big deal. First off, he had to write the play real quick.
Yeah.
He wrote the play. And then he sent it all out to press that she had refused the Nazis' invitation to go to Germany. And so she was... got around that she was the girl known to say no to Hitler.
Oh.
That was his gimmick. So he wrote that play and staged it, and it as what he figured, the show was a sensation, and that he filled the theater every night for the entire run.
Wow.
So, you know. Yeah, that was his early 20s. At 23, he went to Hollywood to work, and he started at Columbia Pictures as a dialogue director.
Oh, okay.
And along the way, he learned all of the film industry.
Yeah.
So he knew everything that could be known in the theater. Then he learned the film industry. And 1947, he produced Orson Welles' movie, The Lady from Shanghai.
Okay.
So I think that's kind of full circle.
Yeah.
You meet this guy, you convince him to rent you a theater, and then you produce a movie for him. I think that's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
But gimmicks were his thing. And we know in this movie, the skeleton was the gimmick.
Yeah.
And what happened was he floated that skeleton across the theater. When he was working the skeleton, it would come out and float across the theater.
Yes.
So that was his gimmick. And I'm not sure. I read that it was called Amerigo. And I'm not sure if that was the name of the skeleton or the name of the technique that he did.
I saw that and I didn't think anything further. You know what I
mean?
Oh,
okay.
I didn't write anything about it. I saw that it was connected to the gimmick.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was all entwined with the gimmick stuff.
Right. But yeah, he wasn't happy if his movies didn't have that, you know, little trick added to them.
Did you see, I saw something where, like, in some theaters, after people had seen it the first time, they'd come back and little boys would take their slingshots and pop guns and shoot at the skeleton.
They tried to knock the skeleton down. Hey, they had to buy a ticket for that.
Yeah.
Works for me. And in his movie Macabre.
Okay.
He made a hit of that movie with moviegoers by offering a $1,000 life insurance policy in case of death from fright.
Oh, wow.
And along with that, he had hearses in the parking lot and out front of the theater, and he hired nurses to be inside the lobby.
Oh, wow.
And he this man was crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Money well spent.
Yes.
We're still talking about it.
Right? And we talked about on the phone about The Tingler, the movie The Tingler.
The Tingler.
And he wired up. It wasn't
the
electric
whole
charged seats. Like, you know, a lot of people said that, oh, the seats were electrified.
Just vibrated.
Several seats were wired. And it said they were buzzers.
Yeah.
So the buzzer would go off and it'd scare you to death, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
So, but I think, you know, people got their money's worth.
Oh, absolutely.
And his last thriller movie in 1975 was called The Bug, I think.
Oh, okay.
I didn't write it down, but I know it was about a bug.
Ew.
His star, Hercules.
Oh, boy.
Was, insured for $1 million. His life was insured for $1 million. And he's a cockroach.
Okay.
And actually, I think he was a plastic cockroach.
Oh, boy.
That's his gimmick. You know, that's his thing. It's how he got people in the theater and kept them coming back.
Okay.
To see if they could get in that seat or if they could knock down the skeleton. Every movie he did something like that.
That's cool.
And his very final movie was Rosemary's Baby.
Yeah.
And he mortgaged his home to buy the movie rights of the book.
Okay.
Before it was even published.
Wow.
So he had taken it to Paramount to have it, get it made. But Paramount insisted that Polanski was going to be the director.
Okay.
So Castle settled to be the producer. And there was no gimmick there because he became ill at the end of the shooting and the, you know, the production part.
Okay.
And when he returned, the movie was already released.
Oh.
So there was no gimmick to that one. Wonder what that would have been. A woman standing in front with a pram and the devil's baby inside? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
But he died in 1977 of a heart attack at age 63 in Los Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Rosemary's Baby?
Never. I've never seen that movie. I just know that it's a girl that has Satan's baby, right?
Yeah. But she's tricked into it.
Okay.
By everyone around her. They move into the... Her and her husband move into this building that's supposed to be, you know, the building.
Oh, okay.
And in real life, it was the Dakota, the building that John Lennon was shot at.
Oh.
So that, you know, that's, we're talking about that kind of place where people were.
Wow, yeah, okay.
Movers and shakers were there. And she, her husband, I think, was an actor or something. And they were trying to be famous. And they had these neighbors that they were these weird little old people that just inserted themselves into this couple's life.
Okay.
And yeah, they all trick her into having Satan's baby.
Interesting. Okay.
Because the old people are all part of like this satanic cult.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's crazy at the end when Rosemary like figures it out and she sees the baby's like eyes and she's just like, what's wrong with his eyes? And they're like, he's got his father's eyes. And they're like, God is dead. Satan lives. And these old people are just having the time of their life.
Oh my gosh.
Rosemary is literally melting down.
Oh dear.
That the book had a sequel that was written in the early late 90s, early aughts,
2000.
I own it. I don't know. It's called Son of Rosemary, and it's about the baby that grows up.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the movie you watched. Okay.
Yeah, no, Rosemary's Baby.
Oh dear.
Yeah, Ira Levin wrote a sequel like 25 years after the fact.
Oh dear.
So you know how those go. But it turned out to be a St. Elsewhere thing.
Okay.
You know how St. Elsewhere was just a dream sequence? The whole goddamn show was just a dream sequence of one of the little patients.
Yes.
That's all this book turned out to be. You know, it starts out, you know, this man, he's you know, he's grown up, he's becoming a politician, he's literally the Antichrist, and then like the world ends, but then it's just like, well, no, it didn't, because this is just like Rosemary's fever dream.
Oh my goodness. Oh dear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was worth reading.
All right.
I wouldn't go out and buy it like I did, but
right. Well, this was a book. This was made out of a book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Rob White made the screenplay.
Yes, I saw that.
But what he was really known for, this Mr. White, was TV scripts and adventure novels that mostly dealt with maritime settings.
Oh.
World War II, Pacific Navy stuff.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he did. And he was also known for this, The Haunted House, The House on Haunted Hill, and the one of the next movies, 13 Ghosts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was also remade.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't read anything. I recognized the name of that.
I've seen the remake.
But I didn't look into any of that.
I don't think I've ever watched the original.
Interesting. Okay. All right. A guy named Vaughn Dexter did the music.
Okay.
He started his career in Chicago, later moving to California. Where he got a music degree at USC. And he scored Castle's films.
Okay.
Which was that creepy,
yeah,
you know, really just fingers on the organ music.
Yeah, a couple of black keys here.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Right, but he did lots of music. But then when he, around about the early 60s, he got something, some kind of a disease where his fingers stiffened up.
No.
So he couldn't write the music fast enough for the movies. You know, that's a specific kind of job.
Yeah.
If I want movie music, I want it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So he was unable after the 60s, which was not long after our movie.
No.
That he and his wife moved to Iowa and ran a music publishing business.
Oh, cool.
He died of lymphoma. Oh my goodness.
Those are way different.
Way different diseases.
Oh my God.
In 1996.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's you know.
But, you know, to not write for 30 years.
Right.
Could you even imagine?
No, I can't. And especially if that was your desire. You know, he went to school to learn how to do that, and he did that. And, you know, that's. And then to move to Iowa?
I don't know. If you're from Iowa, you know people in Iowa, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I've been to Iowa. It's okay.
There's a guitarist that just had to quit playing because his bones are literally fusing together.
Oh, no.
And, like, he just, like, he's in his early 70s. So, I mean, he's had a little bit of a career.
Wow.
But, yeah, he just had to stop. And it's all, the band fucked him. It's a whole thing. Yeah, Mick Mars from Motley Crue.
Oh, my.
His bones fuse together. His bones are fusing together. And he it's just too painful for him to even pretend to tour.
Oh, I can't even imagine. You know, how can he walk? How can he sit? How can he stand?
Right.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's, wow. Wouldn't like to do that.
Yeah, and Motley Crue, like, basically fired him.
Oh.
And like, are trying to take away, like, his portion of the rights. But, like, he was the main songwriter. So, like, he's just like, I'm going to go away, but you're not going to take everything from me.
No.
They're still in court.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Ugh, because that's old time stuff, contract stuff. And even though you wrote it, it doesn't belong to you.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. That's awful.
Yeah. Well, that's greed, but.
Well, yes. Yes, it is. And that's unfortunate. Yeah. Okay, we can move on to production. The exterior shots were all of the Ennis House in California.
I did write that down.
Most of the interior shots were on a soundstage.
Oh, okay.
It was built specifically to do this movie. But all of the Ennis House pictures were of that house, which is still standing.
Yep. It's in the Los Feliz area of Los Angeles.
Yep.
Designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. Built in 1924.
Yep.
And it's listed in the National Register of Historic Places.
Right. Right. It's best known. Oh, what did I turn the page to find? Nothing. The house on the flyers is a different house. Did you notice that? You know what?
Oh, yeah.
It's a completely different house. And it the different style and everything. Oh, my goodness. Did I not write anything? There was a whole lot about this house.
Did you write about the murder-suicide that happened near the house? Across from the house? Something wrong?
No, I did not.
That was The property used in the exteriors overlooks the Los Feliz murder mansion, a house left untouched following the double murder slash suicide in December of 1959. Cardiologist Dr. Harrelson killed his wife Lillian with a ball-peen hammer. I guess he killed his daughter the same way, his daughter Judy, and then took a fatal dose of Nimbutol.
My goodness.
Yeah, could you even imagine? How much do you hate somebody to hit them repeatedly with a hammer?
Holy cow. Oh my god, that's crazy. The Ennis house, though, is a standard Gothic, is the style of it.
Okay.
Frank Lloyd Wright designed it,
mm-hmm,
and started building it, but there was some trouble building it, and the Ennis family fired him and had someone else come in and finish it.
Oh.
And later, it was neglected after that. It was badly neglected. And then in the 1994 earthquake, there was a lot of damage to it. And I have to wonder if that was the problems building it was because of the fault line and stuff. But it was damaged during the 94 earthquake.
Oh.
And it was completely restored in 2007. Even though it had been structurally unstable, they were able to save it.
Oh, wow.
And it is now in private ownership. And because it was part of the Ennis house thing.
Okay.
It is required that the house be open to the public 12 days a year.
Oh.
So people can still go into that house and see it, because this house has been used in quite a few movies. Blade Runner.
Oh, okay.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer and others.
Oh.
I didn't recognize, so I did not write them down.
Okay.
But yeah, there it was. You know, it's a pretty famous house.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yep. And he was, like I said, friend of our friend Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
He took Castle noticed how well Hitchcock did with his low budget horror films. And he went off and started Hitchcock did the same. No. Hitchcock noticed Castle's use of gimmicks and low-budget, fast movies.
Okay.
And he went off and made his own little movie called Psycho.
Yeah, that's what I read. I was wondering where you were going. I was like, I don't think that's right. I read something different.
The Cocktails have already screwed up my brain. Cocktails at 7 a.m. is a little bit, you know, not right.
I'm perfectly fine. And I drank my whole cocktail.
Well, mine apparently settled in where my mouth should have been, and it's not working. Should we do that over and you can just cut that out and put the right words in?
It'll be fine.
But yeah, Alfred Hitchcock. And yeah, so, you know, when I was watching this, I was thinking, yeah, Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Although I think Alfred Hitchcock is way scarier. I don't know.
Way, way better at building suspense.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Because there's no real suspense in this movie. It was just blah, 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 scary. Blah, 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 scary.
Right. A couple of screams here and there to get you charged up.
Yeah.
I absolutely did not know how that ended. I thought the millionaire was murdered.
Oh, you thought he, yeah, okay.
Because I told you, when I, well, you know, as you all know, I try not to know anything about the movie before we watch it.
Right.
And as I was doing my studying, I kept reading things about the movie, and I thought, I've got to stop this because I don't want to know. I knew about the vat of acid.
Okay.
And the skeleton. And I guess in my mind, I assumed it was the husband. So, you know, I stopped reading things then. So,
yeah.
But yeah, cool. Cool. It was originally released. This movie was originally released by Allied Artists.
Yep. That's what comes up first thing.
Yep. Lorimar Productions released the VHS in October of 1985.
Okay.
Warner Home Video released a remastered DVD with a tie-in to the remake.
In 1999. Okay.
That's how we got to 1999.
Yeah.
Legends Films colorized this movie in 2005.
Yep.
And then released it on Fox DVD that included the Michael J. Nelson from the Mystery Science Theater from the, what do they call it? I've forgotten now.
Mike Nelson and Bill Corbett and Tom Servo. Who played Tom Servo? He's got a basic name. I can't remember. But the guy that played Tom Servo, they went off and did Riff Tracks.
Riff Tracks. Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
I'm going to be really upset about that I don't know who Tom Servo is.
Well, look up while I'm talking. Look it up. The reception and the legacy of this movie was thought that it was campy and creepy, but it deserves to be the horror classic that it is, which seems odd to me that they would say something like that. But yes, it is campy.
Yeah.
And it is creepy.
It is creepy. And Kevin Murphy is the name.
Okay.
Tom Servo.
There you go. See?
And he sings. He's got a beautiful voice. And Tom Servo frequently sang on Mystery Science. It was awesome.
Okay.
It was great.
Interesting. Okay.
And like I said, I've seen the remake. And we've watched it recently. And it's just, you know, whatever. It's not as good as the original.
Okay.
And I've only seen the remake of 13 Ghosts. I've never seen the original.
All right.
And I don't know how they could have made what was made in the 90s in the 50s. So I'm sure the deviations are real.
Really different?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a sequel in 2007. Return to House on Haunted Hill.
Okay.
But it went directly to video. And it was widely panned.
Hmm.
The remake was also out to negative reviews.
Because it's one of those movies that didn't need to be remade.
No, uh-uh.
And like, you know, to be shot in color and, you know, with all the technology that was available in 1999 versus 1959, I mean, does that make anything better?
Right, correct. No, it doesn't. No.
So, you know, it was a movie.
Yeah. But it was a box office. In the end, it was a box office success.
Yeah.
It did say that.
Well, I mean, it had names in it.
Right.
Like, I'm pretty sure that Liam Neeson and Catherine Zeta-Jones were both in it. And that was height of Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Right. 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 And Castle's daughter, I believe her name was Carol also, was in 2017 writing an additional movie. And a prequel. but I couldn't find anything at all about those things. So I'm wondering if they just kind of went the way.
Or were they just novelized?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell you. Because I didn't really look into it. That's when I stopped reading about it, because I thought, I don't want to know about this movie.
Too many spoilers.
Right. So, yeah, everything I learned about this movie, I found very interesting.
Yeah.
I almost think that I would like to see something else he did.
Okay.
Because is it as scary as this?
Could be.
I don't know. So, you know, that's my take on it.
And I can't say I've seen anything other than this by William Castle.
Okay.
I did see Rosemary's Baby, but that's Roman Polanski.
Right. You know, and I was going to look real quick and see. I know that he did a lot of movies. There were a number of movies that he did. So, you know, I mentioned The Tingler.
Right.
But he did lots of other ones beside that. And I wonder, were they all just little short movies like this?
Oh, I'm sure.
I wonder, was that the thing to do, a short movie like that when, you know, in that time?
Well,
I'm trying to think. 59. I think people were still going to the movies a lot.
Yeah.
We had TV then, but I don't think everybody in your city had a TV.
No, and I think that this kind of fit the attention span of that time frame, because that's, you know, that's when people still talk to their neighbors and did stuff outside and all of that, you know, where you didn't have time to sit for 2, 3, 4 hours at a time to watch a movie.
Right, because you didn't pay $30 to go see a movie.
Right.
It literally was a quarter.
Right.
You know, it was change. So, you know, there's a lot to say about it. I mean, yeah, he did 13 Ghosts in, but if you look at his filmography, there's, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, you know, there's at least two dozen movies that he was involved in.
Wow.
So, as a director. So, you know, there's lots to see about him. I thought you were going for my pretzel stick. What are you doing?
I would never.
We had these delicious pretzel sticks with our hors d'oeuvres. We had like party food, like we had like hors d'oeuvres.
Hors d'oeuvres.
And these pretzel sticks that Justin brought home for us are delicious.
Yeah, they were really good.
And I've got a spare one right here beside me, and I thought she was reaching over to get it.
I would never. No, I have been looking at it.
I can rip it in half because I haven't licked it all yet.
No.
But I thought I'd spare you all the pain of me chewing. So,
well, we appreciate that.
I haven't eaten it yet.
I spelled that wrong.
But he also did TV. He produced, he wrote, he was even an actor in quite a few movies. And he also had a little bit in Rosemary's Baby.
Was he one of the Satanists? Was he her doctor?
I could not tell you because I only read that he had a bit in that. Okay, here. In 1968's Rosemary's Baby, Man by Pele... Holy cow!
You're having a horrible time.
Man by Payphone. So apparently she walked by him.
Oh.
And he was on... And he was uncredited.
Okay. 13 Ghosts is on Tubi. I guess I'll watch that later.
There you go.
A couple and their children occupy a house haunted by 12 ghosts who are seeking a 13th. Okay. And it's a headless guy fighting with a lion. That's the picture that comes up. You see that?
Interesting. Okay.
This is the one I've seen.
Is this one of his? Oh, okay. The remake.
Yeah. This is the remake. 2001. You gotta pay to watch the remake. I mean, it's not that great.
Okay, don't pay for it then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, subscribe. Yeah, so, I mean, he was... this was not his only movie, and he was very involved. Let's see, he started... there was stuff about him starting in about 1939.
Wow. Okay.
So he was, you know, 20-ish. 25 at that time. And that's when he went to California, and he worked constantly through right up to Rosemary's Baby.
Wow, that's crazy.
And when he wasn't doing movies, he did TV. He produced. He was a writer and actor. I told you that.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done a lot.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, yay for him.
I saw somebody figured out the money in 2023 money, the $10,000 prize.
Oh, golly.
And
well, what did we? It's like 10 times. Did rule of thumb is like 10 times what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was $105,769.42.
I'd go to a party for that.
Yeah.
I'd stay up all night for that.
Oh, yeah.
$100,000? Absolutely.
Yeah. That'll pay both of our houses off.
Yeah.
That's all I need to worry about.
Right. No, right now I'm worried about is getting you a furnace.
Oh, the furnace works.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know, because it's nice and warm in here.
But the...
because it turned cold this week here in Ohio.
Yeah, it's real cold.
But it's supposed to get up over 70 today, so...
I mean, it's sunny. Look how bright.
It is. It looks beautiful. The sky is beautiful.
I opened a window for one of the cats, and it's real bright in here. It's not normally this bright.
No, not at all, but it is. And we're supposed to stay warm for... 6 or 7 days at least.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, in the 70s, not warm, but warmer for October. Last year, remember, we had snow on Halloween.
I remember.
We gonna do Halloween this year?
Yeah, it's okay. A Thursday.
All right, I gotta go get some candies.
Okay.
Hopefully, we won't get snowed out.
Yeah, hopefully, there'll be kids.
I hope.
Last year was real sad.
Well, we were only out there for about half an hour or 45 minutes. Because the snow was so heavy.
Yeah.
And it was cold.
It was. Well, we hadn't seen a kid for a half an hour.
Right.
We decided after a half an hour, it was just like.
Right.
Since we are just sitting here in the cold listening to Halloween music, we might as well just go inside.
Yes. Absolutely.
The skeleton that rises from the vat of acid is a real human skeleton.
Well, they probably didn't have plastic skeletons in those days.
It was faster and cheaper to buy real skeletons from a biological supply house than to have the FX department craft one.
Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, you could tell. I mean, like, the ribs and stuff were all sutured together. It had a spacer between the thumb and the index.
Right, the hand was all sewn together.
I mean, you could tell that was a specimen.
You know, I didn't even think about that, but wow, that makes it even creepier.
Yeah.
I think. How interesting.
Cassandra Peterson, you know who she is?
Why does that name? No, I don't. Why does it sound familiar?
She is Elvira.
Yes!
She once said that on Larry King Live that this was her favorite horror movie.
Oh, wow. Oh. Oh, yeah. I absolutely can see that. She looks like she would be from this movie, doesn't she?
Yeah. At around 32 minutes in, and I meant to pay attention to this, Frederick Lawrence says to Lance, "It's close to midnight, Lance." The first verse of Michael Jackson's Thriller is, "It's close to midnight."
Yes, I remember when he said that.
Yeah, and Vincent Price did the spooky voiceover
yes.
in Thriller.
Oh my gosh! How cool.
Yeah,
that's
cool. Tie-in.
That is cool.
The woman who played Ruth Bridges was Julie Mitchum.
Yes.
Actor Robert Mitchum's sister.
Cool.
And on set, did you notice they zoomed in on her hands a couple times?
Right. When the blood was dripping on them.
She was where her thumb ring, or her thumb ring, her pinky ring was a large Baha'i ring. Have you ever heard of the Baha'i religion?
No.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. And years ago, I knew a girl who was involved in Baha'i.
I don't know anything about that.
I don't know. I think it's like, I also know that like Seals and Croft were Baha'i people.
I wonder what kind. I'm going to look that up when I get home.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be like Arabic because the writing on her ring is in Arabic and it translates to God is most glorious. But everybody that I've ever known that's participated in Baha'i have been very, like, Aryan white. Like,
okay,
pale, blue eyes, blonde hair.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know what its teachings are. I don't know.
No, I've never even heard
really
of it.
Anything. I know that Seals and Crofts practiced.
Okay.
Why do I need to know what Seals and Crofts did in their spare time?
I did notice that her hands were quite old looking and that she had on a couple of pretty massive rings.
Yes.
But I did not look closely at the rings. I wish you would have said something and I would have looked closely.
Oh. You want to rewind it back?
No. No, I'm going to go home and look at Baha'i religion.
Castle thought that it added a bit of mystery to her character. That choice of jewelry.
Oh, because if she had all those big stones on her hand, why did she need money?
But she had a gambling problem.
Right.
But she hadn't gambled away her jewelry.
Right.
So what did she gamble away?
Right. Interesting.
This was her final film, Julie Mitchum's final film.
I saw that too.
And also the final film of Leona Anderson, who played the caretaker's wife.
Okay. I didn't much look in at her. I did look at the actors.
Yeah. This was filmed September 3rd through the 16th, 1958. For a December release.
Wow.
Yeah, so the turnaround on this was quick.
Wow. 2 weeks to film and...
Yeah.
A month to get it together and... Wow, 2 months.
Yeah.
Interesting.
This was included among the American Film Institute's 2001 list of 400 movies nominated for the top 100 most heart-pounding American movies. Just like Carnival of Souls.
Yes.
I thought that was interesting that this was included too.
Oh, yes. Oh, okay.
During principal photography, Carolyn Craig was pregnant. Very, very newly pregnant.
Yeah.
Because her son Charles was born in May of 1959. If they were shooting in September.
Yep.
She probably didn't even know yet.
Right, right. Interesting.
The funeral cars at the beginning of the film are...
Tallulah.
What is she doing? Is she following
it? Tallulah.
Where is she? I can't
see.
She's
up on top, but she won't take her... She was taking her eyes off of him. Okay, oh. She's licking herself now. We're back.
Okay. Luli is feeling better, so she's taking it out on everybody.
She's been quiet for a while, so now she's got to be the wild thing. Wild thing.
Yeah. The funeral cars at the beginning of the film are 1950 to 1958 Cadillac Fleetwood 75s.
Nice.
Except for one 1948 Packard funeral coach with a custom body by the Henny Motor Company.
Cool.
I don't know what any of that means.
I think that that was the very first car in line.
Probably.
Because the other cars were definitely caddies.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the pistols in the small coffins are Colt Model 1903 pocket hammer semi-automatics made from 1903 to 1929. They shot 38s.
Nice.
That'll put a hole through you.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I noticed that wasn't right when that guy did, he did the cock action.
When he cocked the slide.
There was no slide on that gun.
Yeah. That's
it was a trigger action. No, where did he get that gun?
Yeah, because Frederick Lauren explained you have to pull the trigger. You have to pull the hammer back and then pull the trigger.
Right. And he cocked that gun with that slide. I thought, nope. There were a couple of little things like that that I read about that I noticed. A
little bit of continuity.
Yeah, well.
Well, listen, stuff like that is fun for me to find. Like, I hope that filmmakers just leave that stuff in now, knowing that somebody will get a little thrill out of noticing it.
Oh, yes.
Because that's all that I get. It's just a little kick out of noticing it.
Yes, I love doing that. I love it. The shoes, the last movie, The Carnival of Souls. Changed her shoes every 5 minutes.
Yeah, her shoes were always different.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
But I love noticing continuity things. Go on, I'm sorry I cut into you. What you were talking about that gun, which I hadn't even thought about. That was very interesting.
Yeah, no, it was a hammer and trigger, not a slide action.
Right. But that little box, and we opened those, I thought it was going to be a knife in there.
Yeah.
I did. I really thought it was going to be a knife.
Well, it's not Clue where everybody gets their own weapon.
I just thought they were all going to be knives.
Oh.
But they did. They all got their weapon. They got a gun.
Well, I think guns work better because it's easier to be scared and misfire than it is to be scared and then accidentally stab somebody. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's absolutely true.
You know, it's way easier to accidentally shoot somebody than it is to accidentally stab you.
Sorry, I accidentally ran up to him and stabbed him in the chest. I'm sorry. Oh, I tripped and then I stabbed him in the chest. That's what it was.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
From my spot on the ground.
Right.
Right. So I think, and they were trying to paint that young woman as you know, unbalanced, thrown off. And did you know that she was the only one in this movie that was seeing ghosts?
Yes.
Nobody else saw anything.
Not until that guy opened her closet and found the head hanging in there.
Yeah.
And he never saw a ghost. He just saw that head.
Yeah.
And he knew right away it wasn't a real head.
Yeah.
Because he grabbed it, snatched it right up by its hair, and went downstairs.
Yeah.
And he blamed the drunk guy. He blamed him for it, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. But yeah, she was the only one that saw anything spooky.
Look at little Jelly. He's trying to figure out how to get to her food.
Oh, is he in the kitchen? Oh, I see him now.
He's on the tower in the kitchen. And I have Tallulah's food dish in one of the little tower houses. And I think he's trying to figure out how to get there.
Oh, he's just looking around. Too big for those little rooms.
This is Catwatch with Lexi and Mom.
Yes. Oh my gosh, we love our cats. We just love our cats.
We did it. We talked about our TikTok. We talked about our food. Our food was delicious.
Oh yes. Thank you, Alexis, for cooking again.
Thanks for the guacamole.
Oh gosh, wasn't it good?
Yeah, it was really good.
I haven't made guacamole in a while. And I made it. I hoped it would be just like you liked it.
It was perfect.
Like I used a sweet onion in it.
Oh.
Do you think that that changed the taste any?
Uh-uh.
I think that I don't taste onion now after we ate it. You know, sometimes when I put yellow onion, cooking onion in it, I taste onion afterwards. But I saw this beautiful white sweet onion. I thought, oh, I'm going to try this.
Oh, no, it tasted good.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
And I made them in my little cup blenders, my little, my drink cups.
The bullet.
Yeah, so that I didn't have to clean the big old, giant blender out.
Oh, yeah.
It was super easy.
Nice.
And since I only did 3 avocados, I did it in 2 little shifts. And it, I think it, I didn't find anything
didn't
that
find
was
any
too
chunks.
Large.
Uh-uh.
So I think it blended it up nicely.
Yeah.
But yeah, we had a delicious breakfast with our cocktails.
Yeah.
Although they did not eat in this movie, but, you know, that's part of our shtick here is to eat.
Right.
So we had party food.
Yeah. Well, he does mention that there was going to be dinner, but you don't ever see dinner happen.
No. Uh-uh.
Like, you don't see food at all.
No, they arrive there at, you know, what I'm thinking is like 8 o'clock-ish.
Yeah, probably dusk.
And then they say it's going to be midnight soon. And the clock said 10 till midnight. So, you know, maybe they ate in the meantime. I don't know. But we had to make our own food this time. So
yeah.
We had party food and cocktails.
Yeah, it was great.
Yes. I liked it.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
You got to go to the meat store and get those potatoes.
Oh, my gosh. And if they are frozen, I keep them in the freezer and just pull one out.
Yeah.
Oh, they were twice baked potatoes.
Yeah.
We're calling them potato skins.
Them giant potato skins. Because
you really wouldn't have a twice baked potato at a party food. But
right.
Potato skins, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And it was really delicious.
But I needed a little more fuel for the beginning of my day. So I figured we'll just call it a giant potato skin.
Exactly. I'm with you.
I needed something to go with that alcohol.
Exactly. Well, it didn't work for me. Stop it or I'll start coughing.
No, don't do that.
Right. What else you got there? What other little tidbit of information do you have?
I don't got nothing. I'm out of information.
Me too. How did that happen?
I don't know.
Here, I had quite a number of pages I thought we'd have enough to talk about.
Oh, we've talked.
We have. The people who have died this week.
Yeah, we got that.
Ethel Kennedy.
Yeah.
Robert Kennedy's widow died at 96.
Wow.
She had had a stroke recently, I think, I'd heard. And didn't recover. Well, 96, she's lived a good life. She was very involved in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So, Ethel Kennedy. Then Liam Payne.
Yeah.
Just 31. We talked about that earlier. I think that that's going to be a sad story. I think it's going to end up being a sad story.
I think it is, too.
There was drug paraphernalia all over the room. There was a television there that had been smashed. I think that that's going to end up as a very sad story.
Normal people don't just check into a hotel and trash it.
Right. And especially when the clerk at the front desk was calling the police to get some help for him because he saw that he was in need of help.
Mm.
Mitzi Gaynor,
yeah.
93. Big star, big, did lots of stuff. The first thing I thought of was South Pacific.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that movie?
I feel like I have, but it's been a long time.
I will not sing.
Okay.
But that was the first thing I thought when you would sent that message to me that she had passed. I had not heard that. So that's a sad day. But that's it. That's just the 3 of them.
Yeah.
Couple of notable people here in Toledo have died, but, you know, nobody that anybody would know. A couple of judges, but
the judge that married me.
Was that her?
That was her.
My gosh. I knew that. Amy Berling.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's who married me to my ex-husband.
Oh my goodness.
She was a friend of the lady whose house we had the wedding at.
Yep. And I remember her. She was lovely. She stayed for the reception.
Yeah.
She was lovely. She chatted with everybody.
Yeah, nice lady.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, she was only in her 70s.
Only in her 70s.
She was not old, and she hadn't been out of office but for a few years.
But they said that she wouldn't have been able to run again anymore anyways.
Right.
Because of her advanced age.
Right. Advanced age 70? That's not advanced.
Well, I do think that there should be limits
I completely agree with you that,
you know,
80-year-olds should not be running for president or any other public office. I absolutely agree with you.
Joe Biden is the oldest president we've ever had.
Right. And Donald Trump is into his 80s too, isn't he?
No, he's not quite yet.
He
but
should
he's
be.
He's in his late 70s.
He's senile, isn't he?
He's working on it.
Sorry.
Have you seen his last couple of things? It's sad that they let him go out. And he says that he's not doing interviews anymore and he's not doing any more debates because he's got exhaustion and fatigue. And it's just like, what is he thinks that this job? And I mean, I know that he thinks it's just golf, but.
Right. Right. Well, and two at this, that dinner that was just in New York, I can't think of it's a big name person.
Al Smith
dinner. Melania was there. Did you see that?
No.
First time she's been seen in
months.
Months.
Since the RNC.
Yeah. 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 So she's been absent. Well, she's been missed. People miss her because she should be there beside him.
Right. Well, she doesn't want the job.
No.
She did a bad job of it. And people called her out for doing a bad job of it. And she got pissed off that people were calling her out that she was doing a bad job.
Yeah, too bad she's not American. She didn't know those kind of little things that Americans know.
Christmas.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, I went over and voted early.
Good. I mailed our ballots the other day.
Nice, nice. We encourage you to get out and vote.
Justin sat here while I filled my ballot out and was just like, are you going to fill mine out too? And I was like, are you going to tell me who you want to vote, or am I just supposed to guess? And he's just like, we're going to vote for the same people. Just fill out my bubble sheet.
Oh my goodness. My goodness. That's funny. But it got filled out and
yeah,
got filled out. There's some things on there that we needed to look at. And
yeah, no more taxes. No more.
No more taxes.
Not paying
you
for
know,
it.
Yeah, you know, you heard I got a 2% raise next year.
Woo!
So that means I'll get an additional $40.
Whoa.
And I'm sure my income tax will go up an additional $50.
Right.
So I'm still $10 in the hole. Yes, people living on Social Security are living high.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that entitlement. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, well. And Trump wants to cut taxes, and that'll cost an additional $7 trillion. Oh, well.
Cut taxes, though?
No, he's not going to cut yours. He's going to raise yours because his buddies need the tax cut.
I already pay so much in taxes.
Oh, I know. If you're not paying 24%, you're slacking.
Ugh.
And what do the billionaires and trillionaires pay? 1 or 2%?
Yeah, something stupid like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think it should be a little bit more fair than that. But
yeah,
that's my own opinion, and I'm sticking with it. I've been a flat tax person for many, many years. Everybody paid their share.
Oh, my God. If everybody paid 10%?
Yeah.
Could you even imagine?
We wouldn't have any kind of... we would be in good shape.
Yeah.
We would be in good shape. There should be two spots on there. How much did you make? Here's your tax. That's all there should be on the tax form. But, you know, nobody listens to me, and that's archaic thinking, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a reason why it's wrong.
Right, right. And I'm sure lots of people will tell me.
Yeah.
have at me. I can take it.
We haven't figured out a next movie.
No.
What do you want to watch?
Well, what else in the public domain interests you?
Well, there is... Oh, shit. I just went away from it. There's The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Ooh.
And there's also Nosferatu.
Well, that's the one you had talked about.
Yeah. Which is the first telling of the Dracula story, but there was a lot of lawsuiting involved because, you know, they didn't own the rights to Dracula, and Bram Stoker's widow was very litigious.
Oh, well, then maybe we should watch that one.
I think we should. Because I also think that F.W. Murnau, the director, is a very interesting character. He died in an automobile accident. Do you know how they found his body?
No.
Crumpled up under the dash of the passenger seat.
Oh, you had told me that.
So how was he driving the car?
Well,
if he was balled up under the dashboard.
Did the car roll?
I don't think so.
You remember, when did he die? You know, you got to remember there were no seatbelts until... What, the 80s?
Like the 80s.
The 1980s? I mean, and those great big boats that we drove around in? You've been in a great big car boat. You know there's lots of room.
He died in 1931.
Oh. Yeah. No, there were no seatbelts.
Also, he was 6'4".
Holy cow.
So how can that much man get from the driving column to the passenger side underneath the dash?
Plus, there would have been a stick shift involved in that.
Right.
Unless it was on the tree. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
a lot of man. 6'4 is a lot of man.
That's taller than Justin.
Yeah.
Wow. And a lot taller than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I knew that was coming. I knew it.
I'm sorry. I'm never, ever going to let that go. Never. You people out there are going to hear about it every time. I'm going to try to zing it in there somewhere every time. Wow. That does sound a little... Was there any suspicion around that accident?
None.
Interesting. Interesting.
Not officially, no. But to, you know, everyday people that read about it, like you and me, it's just like, that's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
I couldn't fit under the dashboard of my car.
Well, I think maybe you could have after you've rolled a few times and been condensed a little.
No. There's not enough space between any of the seats in my car for my legs and my head to be in the same space.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I will dive into that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we should do that. You've been talking about it.
Okay.
For a long time, you've been talking about it.
I think the only version on that's on Heroku is colorized.
Oh, that would be disappointing. But on the other hand, I mean,
it is kind of interesting to see it colorized. What? They remade it in the 70s with Klaus Kinski.
There it says 1922.
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's on the Roku channel. It's on Fossum.
Does that say it's rated R?
It does say it's rated R. It's on Tubi, Horror Zone. It's on Ray Gun. I have Ray Gun.
Yep.
I have most of these. Okay. Yeah, right. Then we'll watch that.
Let's do that then.
It's just, this is one of those animal vampires where he looks like a rat.
He does.
His movements are very articulated. The way that his hands look, they look like claws. It just, he's a terrifying looking man. And they made a movie in the 90s called Shadow of the Vampire that posed the question, was Max Schreck really a vampire?
Oh.
You know, because he was just
so real.
Yeah.
So, is that him right there?
Yeah, that's him.
Wow. Ooh. Yeah, that's the picture. When I think of this movie, that's the face I see.
Yeah. That rat-like vampire.
White. Funny ears, big ears, big nose. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Okay, well,
this one says it's rated G. So tell me how it can go from rated R to rated G.
And it has the same,
the
same little blurb too. Well, let's watch the R-rated one.
Okay. Nosferatu is really cool because
go back. This says 1 hour and 5 minutes. How long is the first one?
I don't know.
Hour and 24. What's the difference?
Yeah, what is the difference? Do they use the Type 1 negative soundtrack?
I don't know.
Is that this movie? Am I thinking of the right movie?
Maybe we should do a little research and see which one we should watch.
Yeah, we'll figure it
out. Hour and 5 or hour and 24.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, reach down in that box in front of you. I'm not going to make you do that. See what
I'd have to move the mic. I'd have to take the headphones off. My book is here.
Yeah, that's just too much.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what does that box say?
I can see it, but I can't touch it.
That's fine.
Yeah, you've been talking about this for a long time. Let's watch it.
Yeah.
And I know this will scare the hair off of me, won't it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because it's it's one of those, that creeping terror.
Ugh. My spine is still tingling. Okay.
Okay.
Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
I can't wait to hear what you pull out for F.W. Murnau.
Well, maybe, hopefully we'll find out about that accident.
Yeah.
All right.
I think he might have been gay at a time in Hollywood when you weren't gay.
Oh.
Even if you were.
The 20s? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. Okay. All right. Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah, I'm excited.
What kind of food is in there? We'll have to find that out. Rat and mice and...
No. Well, in Dracula has a big grand dinner set up for Jonathan Harker.
Right. There's always dinner scenes in Dracula movies. Always.
So...
lots of wine, lots of drinks, lots of stuff.
I can't drink red wine, though.
I can't either. Makes my fingers swell up.
Yeah. And I don't need any help with that.
Nope. That's the tannins.
Yeah.
But I love it. It tastes good. But I don't do it. All right.
We'll figure it out.
Yep. Couple of weeks. We'll be back.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Are we all set then?
I think so.
All right. probably won't see you on Halloween.
Probably not.
So happy Halloween.
Yep.
Watch a scary movie.
Yes. And report back.
Yeah, report back. Definitely. Because we need to know what you're watching. We need to know if we're missing out on anything. But don't tell me that you watched Terrifier 3. I don't want to fucking hear it.
I'll keep that in mind. Hey, my love.
All right. Well, we'll meet back in a couple weeks and watch Nosferatu.
All righty.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.